tell us about yourself and why you're running for the Chatham-Kent-Leamington seat at Queen's Park.
Okay, well, I'm Bill Kirby, and I'm the Liberal candidate for Chatham-Kent-Leamington. I was invited to stand for this nomination because of my small-town background in Quebec. I grew up in rural Quebec, a tiny little town, 5,000 people. And also because I am a business development manager in my career. I've got about 40 years experience developing clients and understanding their needs. And those skills combined, along with my volunteerism and, you know, family orientation, et cetera, really played well to what the Liberal Party was looking for in Chatham-Kent-Leamington. And that's someone who can, you know, identify with the policies of the Liberal Party, but also take the time to listen and understand and respond to the needs of the people in the community in a way that a rural born person will get. You know, so that's, I think that those were the main reasons that I got invited in. One of the big reasons I accepted is it's exciting for me to have the opportunity to represent people that I can identify with, you know, on a socio-cultural kind of way. You know, these are my people kind of thing. You know, maybe, and there's French. So that's a great thing for me, and to be able to give back and, you know, represent the needs of people.
How worried are you regarding the threat and reality of the tariffs that are being imposed or could potentially be imposed by U.S. President Trump on the Ontario economy, on Canada, and specifically in the riding of Chatham-Kent-Leamington? And how do you plan to support local businesses during such tumultuous times?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if worried is the right word for me to describe how I feel. Certainly there is worry out there, and I wouldn't say it's misplaced. But what I think Mr. Trump has done for us is force us to think about who we deal with and why. And what we've noticed is that there are far fewer barriers until recently in terms of doing trade with our neighbors to the south, the U.S. And we haven't spent as much attention, although we've talked about it for many, many decades, about interprovincial trade. And there are no real tariffs to speak of between provinces. What you have are regulatory barriers. And I think that this is a great opportunity, and you're already hearing it on the radio about the provinces speaking to each other and try to bring down these interprovincial barriers. And that could have a serious impact on our own internal economies. So once we've taken care of dealing and trading with ourselves across the country, because, you know, we need fruits and vegetables across Canada, we need meats across Canada. So why are we sending it away and then, you know, maybe having it processed and come back? So you're actually paying tariffs twice, the tariffs that our neighbors are going to pay to bring it down and the tariffs we're going to pay to bring it back, which only jacks up the price for the consumer. So let's figure out how to deal with ourselves and clear that obstacle. Then it's about diversifying our trading partners, looking to you know, Europe and Asia and Africa and Australia, and you know, I certainly don't have anything against the United States. I think they're, you know, generally speaking, wonderful people, but the leadership in the U.S. has seen fit to create this conflict, and I'm sure we will see our way through it. Not without a little bit of pain, but I think we will be stronger for it at the same time. And perhaps not the same story for our U.S. friends. So I think it's a bit of a blessing in disguise.
Okay. And how do you and your party intend to address the growing crisis of affordable housing and homelessness within the riding of Chatham-Kent-Leamington?
Okay. So housing and affordability are a huge issue, not just here, but it's something that has become omnipresent across Ontario and across Canada, for that matter. One of the things that has happened coming out of COVID, we've seen rents increase, go through the roof, where people don't know how they're going to afford next month. So one of the ways we're going to address that for people who are already at risk, for instance, people who collect ODSP, the maximum ODSP monthly payment is $1,368. I remember that number because it's been beaten into my head. But the fact is that that's barely a month's rent in most centers in this province. And forget Toronto, it would be far more than that just for a bachelor apartment. So what the Ontario Liberal Party is going to do is double the monthly ODSP maximum. And then we're going to tie it to inflation. So it's going to be indexed. If inflation goes up 5%, ODSP will go up 5%. So that's going to help people who are already marginalized and at risk. We're going to do things like forgive the interest on OSAP for young people, because again, their earning potential is huge, but their actual earnings are low because they've been in school or they're just getting their first jobs, and you have to build up to things. So we're going to forgive that interest on OSAP, and we're not going to require students to repay their OSAP loans until they're making at least $50,000 a year. We're going to, with respect to housing in particular, we're going to get rid of development charges. So particularly with respect to middle-class homes. That way, we're encouraging developers to build that type of home. And in getting rid of those development charges, we can save consumers, the home buyer, up to $170,000. We're going to get rid of the land transfer tax, and that's going to help first-time home buyers. It's going to help seniors who are downsizing. I mean, when you become an empty nester, you don't necessarily need a 5,000 square foot home, so you downsize. It's also going to encourage not-for-profit home builders. So again, that's those lower income subsidized housing or cooperative housing projects that we're not seeing very much of, despite the province, the Conservative government, giving these extraordinary powers to mayors. We're not seeing any more housing permits being issued. In fact, you're seeing an increase in disputes at the Ontario Land Tribunal. What we're going to do for renters is make sure that landlord-tenant disputes are resolved within 2 months, because right now there's a huge backlog. We're going to, give people tax breaks to get to where they need to be and buy a home, stay in a home, find a place to rent and live, and take care of those needs that we have on the most basic level for food and shelter.
Okay. And my next question regarding provincial downloading on municipalities. Provincial governments in Ontario have been downloading costs onto municipalities for decades. Forces them to address challenging issues on the backs of municipal taxpayers. How would you support municipalities that are facing rising costs?
It is a really, really big challenge. Certainly, municipalities are beholden to the province, and they have absolutely had different responsibilities downloaded to them, which forces them to increase property taxes, because municipalities only have a couple of sources of revenue: property tax and user fees for swimming pools and skating rinks, etc. I think that is a question that really needs to be addressed on a municipality by municipality basis, that combining services where we can, but also respecting where to draw the line. If there are responsibilities that we can take back from the municipality, and I couldn't off the top of my head tell you necessarily what that would be, but definitely a conversation has to be had. And again, part of what we pledge to do is sit down and listen when you're talking to the Ontario Federation of Municipalities or groups like that. This is where mayors and representatives of the various municipalities are going to take the time to bend the ear of the various ministers and representatives in the government. And we have to listen, and not just listen, understand and talk through what potential solutions might be that are going to benefit the municipalities in question, in this case the municipalities of the Chatham, Kent, Leamington riding, but Ontarians in general.
Okay. And my last question, which is definitely very localized and recent, would be several civilian petitions are currently circulating asking for the provincial government to entertain the idea of de-amalgamating the municipality of Chatham-Kent. Is this a realistic proposal, and how do you intend to address the concerns and dissatisfaction of the current status quo?
So amalgamation and de-amalgamation are very touchy things. They're always brought about under the premise of cost saving and don't always manifest in cost savings. And what amalgamations rarely consider are the cultures of the different municipalities that are being brought together. I've lived this in a few places at different times in my life and the histories of the community. But I can tell you that the feelings linger for decades, generations. I don't know if amalgamation or de-amalgamation of any municipality is the right solution. But again, it's about listening to the concerns and figuring out what the best step forward is, because de-amalgamation can be just as disruptive and perhaps even more costly than the amalgamation in the first place. So I wouldn't offer to say whether it's something that we could or should do, but definitely we must take the time to listen to people's concerns and see what we can do about it without further harming the economy or the relationships between people in those municipalities.
I think that covers everything, Bill. Thank you so much for taking the time, and appreciate you coming in.
Thank you.